The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. and our Wednesday evening services at 7 p.m. If you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
We've been in this for a while, and we're going to be in it for a little while longer, all right? And the reason we're staying so long, I wanted to follow the pattern of Paul. He stayed at Ephesus longer than any other place, all right? So we're staying there longer than any other book that I normally spend time in. So I keep finding more and more things in here to preach about. So for our text, for our series, we've been using Ephesians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. This is the New Living Translation. God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And as we study it, we realize that this is not just ink on a page. It's not just some ancient book, but this is the living word of God inspired by you. And we realize that the only way we can comprehend it is for you to reveal it through your spirit. So as we study this morning, we ask for the revelation of your spirit to teach us the things that we need to know. Call to my mind, dear Lord, the things that I've studied. Cause me to forget anything that you don't want said. And Father, let only the words that come out of my mouth into the ears of the hearer to be those words that are ordained by you. And we pray and we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So as we've been through this journey at Ephesus, we talked about the history of Ephesus in a sermon, and we talked about why the mystery of this all things coming to one were took place at Ephesus. We talked about how the dead were made alive. We talked about how you can walk and serve God in grace. And last week we spoke about what the true riches were. And today we're going to talk about a little bit different subject, and we're going to study the one-way streets of Ephesus. And actually, it's the one-way streets in the kingdom. That's the title of today's sermon. And for our text, we're using chapter 4. There we go. Okay. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In order there to be unity, everybody needs to be moving in the right direction. This is probably a poor example to bring up in church, but if any of you were ever in a previous life, went down to Mardi Gras in New Orleans and went on the in the French Quarter, you soon learn that everybody was moving in another direction. And whatever tide that you got caught in, that's the way you went. I've heard some great stories of people like losing their shoes, you know, walking through the crowds at the during the Mardi Gras season. But the only way to get someplace together is for everyone to walk together in the unity. And that's what it's talking about here, this unity. There's always been an effort to divide the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's always been an effort to divide those who are God-fearing people. It started with Adam and Eve when the Satan came along. And the big thing that he did was to divide. You remember the story. After they ate of the forbidden fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, where did the first division come? the first thing we see is a division between Adam and Eve. In which that the division is seen in the blame. They blamed one another. It was seen in the fact that they covered themselves up. Prior to that, they didn't wear any clothes, and they seemed to be very comfortable. But then when they saw, when division came in, they wanted to cover themselves. And then ultimately they separated themselves from God. When they heard the God walking in the garden, what did they do? They hid. By the way, that's a great dialogue when trying to hide from God. Have you ever tried to hide from God? Good luck. You can run, but you can't hide. I mean, he will find you. My father-in-law used to call him the hound of heaven. So when the hound of heaven gets on your trail, it's all over, because he will find you wherever you are. We see in the Bible, there's a lot of examples. Just some that came to our mind was Abraham and Lot. They separated. Abraham stayed in the high country. Lot went in the plains to be where the people were. He wanted to be a part of that. And you all know the story of that. Division. If they had stayed together, things would have been better. Lot wouldn't have had that salty wife. You know, his wife would have ended up just like Sarah. So, but they divided. We see the kingdom divided. Judah and Israel divided. Division's always there. In every manner of religious institution, from time immemorial to this day, there are divisions. Why do you think we have all these denominations? You know, people can't get along. There's no unity. And because there's no unity, there's no peace. And when there's no peace, there's no movement of God. When people get angry and upset and all the things that happen. And I only felt it necessary today to just briefly comment about our election and about our nation. Two completely different philosophies of where our nation should go and how it should get there. I was telling Pat that as I grew up, and I've always been involved and interested in America and interested in politics, when we had, like, running for the presidency, and you had two men, they had a difference of opinion about how to accomplish it, but they always had the same goal, all right? What I've seen today is a great division in our nation where the goals are not the same any longer. And that's what stresses us out. You know, that's what causes so much anguish. And you're here this morning, maybe watching via the internet, and either you're elated because Barack Obama has been reelected, or you're depressed because Mitt Romney wasn't elected. And when we do that, and we are elated, and I understand the elation of winning elections, and I also understand the heartbreak of losing an election. But we don't place our trust in the elected officials. They serve. They are appointed. They serve. They are there to serve. They used to call them, they don't use the word much anymore, civil servants. They were there to serve who? Our founding fathers said, we the people. We the people establish the government. And that government derives its power from we the people. All right? Now, we the people, where we've gone astray, is not our political party. We've gone astray when we've divided ourselves from God. That's the problem in America. It's not whether you're a Democrat or Republican. It's not whether you're conservative or libertarian. Those are not the issues. The question is, do you believe in God? Our founding fathers, many of them wrote in various different ways that this nation could not stand if we remove God from who we were. Because the nation is based on the people and their relationship with God. They wrote it in their documents. You know, God created and established this nation, and it needed to be founded that way. And when people take God out of it, then the things that come in its place are mistrust, division, hurtfulness, anger, all the things that are opposite to who we're supposed to be in Christ. It is terrible, friends. it is terrible that our nation is so divided. People are hating one another. You know, at one time, the division was based on things like race. White people hated black people. Black people hated white people. Now it's not about race any longer. It's about ideology. And in that drifting away from God has caused a great divide between our nation. And something needs to be done about that. And the only thing that I believe will unite us again as a nation is God. That's the only thing I know that works. You know, I know that I'm little Johnny One Note. I know I am. I mean, I am, and I confess to it. It's true. People come to me all the time for help, financial help, marital help, children help, you know, help of every kind imaginable. And the only note I have, and it frustrates people when they come to me, the only note I know is Jesus. He's the only note that'll work. And how do I know that? Because I know what worked in my life. And I've seen what works in other people's lives. And if we can get to the cross, we can deal with the issues of a nation or a family or a city. I just saw in the newspaper, I didn't get a chance to read the article, but there's going to be a $3 million shortfall in Slidell. People are going to lose their jobs in Slidell. Now, stop talking about New York or California or Idaho or someplace else. I'm talking about right here in our town. That means we're going to have people losing their jobs in our town. There are civil services that the government, the city of Slidell, provides. They're going to disappear. You may see grass growing in the medians. And you know what will have to happen? Now, I know this is going to rub your fur the wrong way, but we, the people, are going to have to cut our own grass and stop depending on the blooming government to do everything for us. Back in my neighborhood, after this last storm went through and some trees got blown down, and people had their trees cut and they put them out by the front lawn, and we found out, because we live in a gated community, that FEMA wouldn't come in and pick up our stuff. Well, everybody was all upset. And you know what I said? In my neighborhood, if you can't afford to get your trash taken out, you need to move. You know, I don't have to wait for the government. After Katrina, if I had 4 acres of land, I had how many trees we had knocked down, Pat? Yeah. I didn't wait for FEMA. I called Brian Gross and all of his equipment. They came out there, cut them babies down, stacked them, rolled them out to the street, got them off my land. There comes a time when we, the people, need to take our responsible positions in this country and do something, all right? And so don't be crying and moaning, oh, well, you know, and Mitt Romney was going to be the savior of our financials here in America. If you believe that, you believe in the wrong thing. He certainly seemed to have the qualifications to do some things, but our faith, we've had people who had qualifications before ran this country right into the ground. It's God that we need, and we need to be trusting in Him. America is united in its trust in God. Somebody said this recently, and I haven't, some statistical information I have is a little old, so this person who said it, I believe that they were saying the truth, but I haven't investigated, so I wanted to tell you that, so in case you go look it up for yourself, I haven't had a chance to look it up. But they say that in America today, only 1 out of 5 people profess Christianity. 1 out of 5. You want to know why things are bad? You know, why people are in jail, why people are murdering each other, why, you know, homosexuality is rampant, promiscuity is rampant, pornography is rampant, thievery is rampant, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, and all the other stuff is rampant. 1 out of 5. And that was God. Or at least profess to know God. And which reminds me, I'm going to start a new series in a couple of weeks. The Lord just really impressed it on my heart to talk about how to live as a remnant in the last days. And I believe we're in the last days. And we need to know what to do, who we are, and what to do. And so I'll be announcing that when I get closer to the time. As soon as I As soon as I get out of Ephesus, there's got to be a train out of Ephesus or a boat or something to get me out of here, all right? So, but let me encourage you. I know many of you are really discouraged. I mean, I've had people weeping and crying and lamenting over the election. I'm going to give you the words. In fact, I put it in the newspaper article that's going to be out this week from my old pappy. Now, my pappy was a philosopher. He wasn't educated in the realms of men. He only had a fourth grade education. But my old daddy knew how to put things succinctly in a way that I could understand. And great words of wisdom, I'm passing on to you. From Angelo, St. Angelo, to you. Life goes on. All right? No matter what you're going through, life goes on. Okay? There's more to life. It goes on. As long as you're living and breathing, life is going on. All right? So until such time as the Lord comes, let's just go on, do what we can. I'm going to give you some advice. This is advice. You didn't ask for it, but I'm going to give it to you. Turn off the blasted news. Amen. It's poisoning you. Amen. And I know some of you are addicted. The thought of not looking at Fox is going to make you sick. Pat and I, we haven't watched the news except for the local news. We want to see some local news. And I woke up the other morning and I told her, my goodness, the earth is still on its axis. The sun is still shining, and I'm still in my house. Imagine that. And I did all that without watching the talking heads and the proponents, who don't know anything, by the way. If you want to watch something, watch some Christian channels. Watch the 700 Club if you want to get some national news. And I know it's going to be hard. It's worse than taking candy from a baby, but that's just some advice. I just tell you that. I promise you, you'll feel better. Okay, so let's talk about this thing of one-way streets in Ephesus that can help bring unity. And the first thing I want to talk about, there are signs of unity in the faith. And let's look at Ephesians 4, 3, and 6. We just read through this, but I wanted to go back to it and look at it again and just kind of highlight a few things for you. Uh-oh. Make every effort. Beloved, things don't happen because you wish they would happen. I remember my great teacher who was teaching me rudimentary algebra in college because I didn't learn it in high school. And I was failing for the third time in college. And I went to see my teacher, Miss Jones. Some of you heard the story. And I asked Miss Jones, Miss Jones, am I going to pass this class? And great words from Miss Jones, I can still remember. She's probably dead and gone by now. And she said, Morris, if you ever get a, Mr. St. Angelo, she didn't call me Morris. Mr. St. Angelo, if you ever get a backbone where your wishbone is, you'll pass this class. Wishing won't do it. We need to make efforts. We need to be a people who are involved in our Christian communities. And then from our Christian communities to go out into the world as the Lord so told us to do. We need to make efforts. How many efforts? Every effort. How many times you try something one time and you just quit? Now, let's say, let's say you got your kids with you and they got a candy machine and kids want some candy out of that candy machine and you reach in your pocket and you pull out your 25-cent piece or your 50-cent piece, whatever it takes, and you put it in, you twist it in there and no candy comes out. Do you think that child's going to let you get away with that? I want some candy. And they're going to pressure you, and you're going to put another one in. And they're going to keep doing that till you run out of money or candy comes out of there, making every effort. Yeah, get a hammer, break the globe. You're going to get some candy or your life is going to be miserable. You make every effort. Just because something doesn't work the first time, you don't quit. You keep at it. I said, well, you know, I went to that church and I didn't like it. Well, come back. You know, I got better sermons next week maybe. You know, maybe somebody will be nice to you next week. Where's Paul? Where are you, Paul? Hey, Paul. I'm going to use Paul. Can I use you for an illustration, Paul? Can I use you as an illustration? Okay, I'm going to do it whether he wants me to or not, all right? I was talking with Paul yesterday at the men's ministry, which, by the way, some of you men weren't here. You should have been here. We had a great time. But that's, you can come next month. Paul did what you ought to do in a church. He got involved. When the doors are open, Paul shows up. And he's talking to people, being friendly. You know, he came in. He didn't know anybody. Well, I guess he knew Roe and Becky. Met him at the dentist department, the dentist office. Thank you. But he made himself at home, and now he feels at home. And he told me, he said, you couldn't get me out of this church if you tried to throw me out. Now, that's the way to do it. You get involved. We have people come visit us all the time, and they visit one time, and they disappear, and I write a little notes and try to get it back. And they're not coming back. We didn't do it right when they were here. If they just come back one more time, they would have been happy. You know, making efforts to get things done. And we need to make an effort to have a unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace, the unity of the Spirit, not the unity of the flesh, the unity of the Spirit. We are one people bound together through the cord of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what binds us together. It's the unity of the Spirit. We are never going to agree on everything. It's not going to happen. Most of you don't agree with yourselves. You're schizophrenic. You know? You just don't believe your own selves. And I don't believe myself. And we're not going to like things the same. Some people like red cars. Some people like white cars. Some people like Chevys. Some people like Rolls Royce. I mean, everybody likes something different. They're like, that's why we have Pepsi and Coke. You know? Because not everybody likes Coke and not everybody likes Pepsi. We cannot agree in the flesh, but we can agree in the Spirit. We honor each other because of Christ that dwells within us. That's the unity of the Spirit. And when you have unity of the Spirit, look what happens. Through the bond of peace, you have to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You stop fighting each other. Stop being so blasted angry at everything. Somebody sat in my seat. Well, it's not your seat, it's mine. Not your seat. I'm the pastor. I own it all. Truthfully, I don't even own it. Unity Church owns it because it's all in their name. So none of us own any of these seats. Or the coffee. Or the snacks. Or the television cameras. You know, we need to be together. Let me tell you, if we can't get along here, how in heaven's name do you think the world's going to get along with us? They already think we're whacked out. And we think they're whacked out. And I know they're all whacked out, and I'm not whacked out because I have the mind of Christ and they don't. And I need to get the mind of Christ to them. That's my job. You want Slidell to be different? You want Louisiana to be different? You want the whole United States to be different? The only way it's going to happen is when you and I make every effort to keep the bond of peace here and then to take the peace that we have and bring it to the world. You know why most of the world is not interested in us? Because we're not any better off than they are. We're bickering and fighting and, you know, we're going through all the stuff. We're sick, you know, and up and say, hey, man, I don't know if I want to join your church. You know, you're just bad off as I am. I want to join something to make you better. So as we get along, as we get healed in our spirit, we just prayed for 31 days for the nation. And that scripture, you know, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray. Many of you never showed up to pray. We prayed without you. We prayed for you. Some of you didn't know what was going on in your life. We were praying for you, for good things to happen to you. Then will I hear from heaven. Then will I heal their land. Y'all paying attention to me? Are you paying attention to me? I'm really telling you something very important. The linchpin, the pole, the thing that all of human life circulates around is Christ. It's not the schisms that we have where you know, I'm a Methodist, or I'm a Baptist, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm an Assembly of God, or I'm a Mormon, or that's not what's separating us. What's separating us is we've got our eye off the center. We need to get our eye back on the center, looking to Him. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if we look at all these other places, you know that old song from that movie, looking for love in all the wrong places? We're looking for answers in all the wrong places. The answers are in God and Christ. So, well, I don't believe that. Well, that's why your life's a wreck. Say, well, I tried Jesus and it didn't work. Well, did you make every effort? Did you try one more time? I'll be honest with you. You know, for the last, 3 years, we've fasted for 21 days, you know, at the beginning of the year. And I was thinking, you know what? We may not do that this year. You know, I haven't seen the great results that I wanted to see. You know, I thought, well, maybe we need to skip a year. We're not skipping a year. We're going to do it one more time, and one more time, and one more time, and one more time. And we're going to keep at it, making every effort. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers in high places. And we're not going to knock them off in one 21-day fast a year.
Amen.
You know, it might take us 25 years. I've already been working at it for, what is it, our 13th year? We're in our 13th year? We're doing it for 13 years. We hadn't fasted for 13 years, but things are better now. This church is, you know, and I'm not fussing with you because this church is great. But I think sometimes we lose track of it. Instead of having the bond of faith, the unity of the Spirit, you know, focusing on this one thing. And if we'll focus on this one thing, it'll work. There's a lot of different ways to get things done. But my way may not be your way. But as long as we're going. Now, some of you non-computer people will have no idea what I'm going to talk about. All right? But you computer people will get it. Google. Google Map. Google Map used to do this. If you wanted to get from here, let's say, to Los Angeles, Google Map would show you a map and show you all the little places to go, and you could blow them up and zoom in and see everything. It'll print it out for you, show you every highway to go to get there. Google Map now has something really cool. It shows you three different ways to get to California. You know? And you can pick the one you want. And you put your mouse on the little thing, and you move it up there, and it'll show you another way. And if it doesn't show you, let's say, well, I want to go to Colorado Springs on my way to California. You take your little mouse and you grab that little yellow thing on Google Map and you bring it all the way up there, you know, to Colorado, and it'll map you out that way. But you know where you end up? California. There's different ways to get there. There are different ways for things to happen in the kingdom, and my way may not be better than yours, and your way may not be better than mine, but it doesn't matter so long as we get there. I'm not upset with people who are of another denomination. You know, I'm not mad at any the Baptists or the Catholics or the Presbyterians or, you know, go down the whole list. I'm not upset with them so long as we're all going in the same direction. But when we take our eye off the ball, then we have something to be upset about. But it's okay to be friends. I have a group, and some of you know this, and for others I'll just repeat it. I mean, just tell you about it. I have a group of men that I meet with every Wednesday. And it is the most weird group. I don't even know what the denominations are in that group. And every once in a while somebody will come, and because this group is so weird, they get their feelings hurt and they don't come back. Because they don't know that we've decided to unify around Christ. And everything's, you can't walk into this room and with tender feelings. Because if you walk in there as a Presbyterian, and somebody might say something, well, you know, I heard the Presbyterian, you know, I used to belong to that, and I don't belong to that anymore. And if a Presbyterian's in there, well, what kind of group is this? They don't like the Presbyterians. But what we do is we try to reach the truth, that it's not about all of this ancillary stuff. It's all about Christ. And this group has got great unity in it. It's amazing to see it. And people who come, if they'll stay and make every effort to stay for a while, they start saying, wow, I've never seen anything like this before. I've never experienced anything like this before. Well, you can have honest and true dialogue about the things that you differ about. And it's okay. Because we made up our hearts and minds that we're going to stay on Christ and Him crucified. And it works. There are parachurch organizations such as Campus Crusade and the Navigators. It's okay to be different. I'm not opposed to those folks. I'm in favor of those folks. We're all going in the same direction. Some people believe in small. Now, there's a new wave afoot, and it's the I Hate Organized Churches movement. And they want to get in a little group and not have any leaders. And they want to, you know, study the Bible together. I don't care. If that makes you happy, turn yourself on. But I know this about little groups. Somebody's going to be the leader of that group. Every time it'll happen. They don't have to put a little button on them that says that I am the leader. But a leader will rise. And the leader does what? Leads. And hopefully the person who rises up and leads knows God. But that's not in opposition to I like a more organized church. If you call this organized. I like having a pastor. And tell you the truth, I like being a pastor for a change. You know? But that's okay. We can have different methodologies, but we're all going in the same direction. Bob Riles, y'all know Bob was here, and he's preached for me several times. And Bob was a missionary in Albania, the most atheistic country in the world. It was, not any longer. And they were having some discussions about the Greek Orthodox religion, which was starting to make some inroads. And so some of the non-Greek Orthodox people wasn't quite sure what the Greek Orthodox people were. So Bob, in his great wisdom, brought in a Greek Orthodox priest into the congregation he had. And the guy came in, you know, you've seen these guys, they got the big long black robes and they got the little square hats, you know. The Catholics have a pointy hat, the Greek Orthodox people have a flat hat. You know, I don't know what that means, but that's the way you tell them apart. And the guy sat down and he took a piece of paper out of his Bible and he read what we know is the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son, born of a virgin, went through the whole thing. Bob said he read the whole thing. And he said he put it down. He said, now that's what I believe. He said, now let me tell you how I practice my faith. And he started talking about how they practice it differently. But that's what he believed. You see, you get the point? You know? So we may do things differently, but there's a unity of the faith, a unity of the Spirit around Christ Jesus. Now, there you go. You see, I was right about the little flat hat. You see that? They got little flat hats. Maybe they have flat heads underneath there, and I don't know. And the Pope's got a pointed head. I don't know, but bring me back to my scripture, Jim. All right? Because I want to focus on a couple of things. And Jim Corbin just loves to go out and Google stuff. Those guys take over. Those Greek Orthodox people, when they get in, they just take over everything. There we go. Okay, and back to my scripture. There we go. Okay, here's what I'm going to look at. There's one body. There's not two bodies of Christ. There's only one. You're either in it or you're out of it. You're either born again or you're not. You're either part of the body or you're not. And anybody who thinks you're narrow-minded for saying that, you just say, yes, I am. Because it says right there, there's only one body. And there's only one Spirit. They don't get a different spirit anywhere else than you and I get. It's the same Holy Spirit. There's only one. Jesus didn't say, well, it's better for you that I go back to the Father, because when I go back, I'm going to send a bunch of comforters down here to comfort you. No, he just said, going to send one, the comforter, the third person of the Trinity. There's only one. Just as you were called to one hope. Our hope, that's not a hope soul. That's a hope that you know in. That's what that word literally means, that you have the assurance of it. It's not you hoping it'll come to pass, like it might not. It's the hope, the assurance that those who are in Christ are in Christ for all eternity. There's only one hope. The Baptists don't get a hope, and then we get a hope. There's only one. And if they have the same spirit, in the same body, in the same hope, how's about a little fellowship? How's about loving each other? We need to work on this. I mean, it's so important for our world, for the kingdom of God. One Lord. I love this, Lord. We don't work with that word very much. You know what that means? I'm the boss. You know who the lords were? They go back into the way the word was used. That people owned all the land. They owned everything. You got to work on the land, but they owned it. And when he said, plant cotton, you planted cotton. When he said, plant potatoes, you plant potatoes. When he said, harvest the potatoes, you harvested it. You didn't get a boat. There's no boating in the kingdom of God. A friend of mine used to have a bumper sticker. He said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's not true. God said it, that settles it. Doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. He is Lord. You know, when Paul got knocked down on the road to Damascus, and he said, Lord, what would you have? He wasn't recognizing him as Savior. He was recognizing him as the boss. Lord, he'd somebody more powerful than him. He just knocked him down and was standing over him, you know, and just speaking to him, you know, why are you fighting me? And he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? He recognized that. And for some reason, we Americans don't like that. We don't want anybody to lord it over us. Well, you know, I'm free. I can do whatever I want. No, you can't. They got laws keeping you from doing whatever you want. Not to mention God. You can't do whatever you want. And we submit to that lordship. Nobody likes that word either. I'm not submitting to anybody. That's why wives get all upset. That's why we have to change the words in marriage ceremony. Because nobody wants to say, you know, I'm going to submit to my husband. I don't want to do that. No, I'm not doing that. I submitted to the last guy. He ended up in a divorce. Things went bad, you know. I'm not doing that anymore. You know, I'm stronger than him anyway. We don't want to submit. We don't like to submit. We don't like to submit to government. Government says you got to do it. We don't want to do that. And I'll tell you, now, just a little parenthetically, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. I'll keep saying it until I can't say it anymore. When the government passes just laws, even if you don't like it, you have an obligation to obey it. When the government passes an unjust law, you have no obligation to obey it. If it's contrary to God, the lordship of God, I'm not obeying it. Maybe I'll pay a consequence for it. And the apostles, you know, it sounds so romantic. Oh, Peter got put in jail. Oh, how sweet. Oh, I wish we were like the early church. You wouldn't like the early church. They spent a lot of time in jail, and it wasn't sweet. And it was hard, and they got beaten. I mean, if I just step on your toe, you don't like it. Then they take you out and beat you with rods and stone you, leave you bleeding, almost dead, drag your carcass into a cell, a dark, deep hole, and throw you in there and say, now go ahead and serve your God. When you hear Paul and Silas singing, then God shows up. You get the point? It's about God and serving Him. One Lord, one faith. Only one faith. Man, multiple faiths is only one. There's only one baptism. If you're born, if you've been born again and you haven't been baptized by immersion, you need to get baptized. You might have been sprinkled. You might have had some pouring on you, but there's only one baptism. It's baptism by immersion in water. So, well, I don't believe that. Okay, so we just that makes it okay for you? No, it's not okay. So, well, why do I need to be baptized? Because the Lord said to be baptized. You got an argument? Go tell him about it. You get baptized. And so, and by the way, if you want to get baptized, let me know. And we're not going to put you in a puddle. We're going to go down the street to another church, them Pentecostal church down the block, who we don't agree with all of their stuff. We're going to go use their baptismal tank. You know why? Because me and that pastor are on the same page. We're serving the Lord. And he said, anytime you want to use my baptismal tank, come on and use it. And so we take him up on it. He's got a beautiful church. You know? And he lets us use it. So if you need to get baptized, let me know. We'll get you baptized. Now this is important today to realize this. Hey, we got this thing backwards or something? There it is. Okay. There's one God. There's one God and Father of us all. There's only one God. And if you... I believe this is God. Because it does wonderful things. It rings and it plays music and I can talk to people in it. Oh, let's you and I worship this. This is God. Oh, I know it's God. Do you hear the music? Yeah. Do you see the little pictures in there? Yeah, only God. It's only God. You know how right we would be? We'd be dead wrong. Well, we just called it God. Let's call it Jehovah. We could call it Jehovah. That'd be okay. You know, we could call it I Am. We could call it Jesus Christ. We could call it whatever we wanted. It wouldn't change the fact it's a stupid bone. And people are worshiping things that got nothing to do with God. If it doesn't walk like God, it doesn't talk like God, it doesn't act like God, it's not God. And if it asks people to do ungodly things, it's not God. There's only one Lord. There's only one God. There's only one Father of us all. Jesus made it very clear. He said, you of your father, the devil. Not his father, but your father. There's only one Lord. People say all kinds of weird stuff. It doesn't make it true. Well, they're sincere. And because they're sincere, and God knows they're sincere, God will let them into heaven. It ain't going to happen. I heard somebody tell a story the other day. Said two guys in the insane asylum. And one of them said to the other one, he says, I'm Jesus Christ. I said, no, you're not. He said, I'm Jesus Christ. He said, no, you're not. He said, I am Jesus Christ. And I said, who told you you were Jesus Christ? He said, God did. I said, he said, I did not. Silly that is. People doing it all the time. There's only one God and one Father. And I love that way to say, who is over all and through all and in all. There's only one Lord God. There's only one way. There's only one unity of faith. Is it almost 12 o'clock?
Yes.
Holy moly. And I have got through the first thing on my sermon. I don't know what's happened to me in the last couple of months around here. I can't even preach a sermon anymore.
You know?
Oh, I love you. Come here, Miss Gill. Give me a hug, Miss Gill.
I like these sermons.
Oh, man. Get me excited now, saying I'm preaching better. Somebody pass the basket, please. But you see where I'm going, don't you? And that's what needs to bind us together. And stop all of our pettiness, you know, with other people. If Jesus was so wise, the disciples came to him and said, they got people over there doing stuff in your name, and we don't know who they are. And he said, the words of wisdom that echo through the ages, if they're not against me, they're for me.
Amen.
Do you know Jesus Christ and him crucified? Well, they're sprinkling babies. Well, maybe they'll figure it out one day that they're not supposed to be sprinkling. But I tell you, sprinkling is better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, at least get you in the right direction. Their mom and dad are thinking about something. It's better than not going to church at all with your kids. It's better than staying home looking at the ball game, you know, running off doing yonder crazy stuff. Yeah, doing crazy stuff. God has such immense love for us. I'm going to close with this one thought. Jesus, the lover of your soul, goes up to Jerusalem. And he's on a hill overlooking Jerusalem. And he says, Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem. You hear his heart? How often I would have gathered you together. As a mother hen gathers her chicks, and you would not come. You would not. Are we like that? Is that what Jesus is saying to us today? Is he overlooking New Beginnings Church in Slidell in America and saying, how often I would have gathered you together, but you would not? I think we need to start gathering together. We need to be bringing our hearts and minds together and focusing on him. If we'll focus on him, there won't be any more division in the churches. There won't be any more division in Louisiana or in our nation. Because we'll be back where we're supposed to be. One nation, under God, with liberty and indivisible. With liberty and justice for all. Key word, I almost left out. Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Let's all stand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you took over once again. And we rejoice in it, Father. Help us, O Lord, to be the people of God that you always wanted us to be, to put aside all of our differences, just trample them underfoot, and together around the cross, together. Lord, help us to be healed from the wounds that have hurt so many folks, Lord, that we won't be trusting in our government. Thank you for our government, Lord. Thank you that the Founding Fathers put it in place. But Lord, that we won't be so angry that we won't love one another and reach out to one another as best we can. Father, let the healing balm of Gilead flow into our nation, into our community, and into our hearts. And Father, let us see you wherever we go. We thank you, Father. Bless this day, Lord, as we take off out of this building. Watch over us. In Christ's name, amen. 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 You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here.